profondo.
So the objective of today's session is not to dig very deeply into the theory and the biblical grounds for marriage. But rather to try to understand some very practical points that can perhaps help us when considering how to go about Christian courtship. So in order to do that, I want to turn to the book of Ruth. And we're going to look through a number of points in summary through the book of Ruth to try and understand some applications for our lives. You'll find the book of Ruth after Joshua and Judges in the Old Testament. So the book of Ruth is a beautiful story of the Lord's dealings in the lives of some of his people. And it's also a wonderful picture of Christ's love. But also, at surface level, the book is a near faultless example of what we would call Christian courtship. Ruth and Boaz are a very good example to us, though not without fault. The book is set in the ancient time of the judges in Israel, in a very different society and time to that which we are in today. But nevertheless, the pattern and the fresh way in which they approach is just as good for us to know today as it was back in those ancient times. So I want to pick a number of lessons from the passage, and there's quite a lot, so I want to rattle through quite quick with fewer questions perhaps than normal. So the first point I want to note is that past baggage, as we might call it, should be forgiven when it comes to Christian courtship. Past history. At the beginning of the book, we read this in chapter 1 and verse 4 to 5. These two Israelite men, verse 4, now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the women survived their two sons and her husband. When coming to seek a new husband, Ruth was not your perfect virgin wife that perhaps many look for in church. She had had a past marriage, and it was, by Israelite law, perhaps an unlawful marriage. But nevertheless, this did not stop her seeking a good, believing husband. And it did not stop the Lord from graciously providing her with a godly husband. In fact, the Lord used the offspring of Ruth's second marriage to continue the line of our Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps this is a bit of a description of many people that we find in churches today. Some of us have a history with a number, potentially, of failed relationships. Perhaps we will even find some women who are already mothers, yet have never married. But friends, if these things are dealt with in a godly way, these people should not be excluded from your search for a husband or a wife. As the Lord God has forgiven past sin and set it behind his back, so should you. You are a sinner, your future wife or husband will also be a sinner, and you will have to live a life of forgiveness together. I also want to note that Boaz, when we come to him, was actually an older man. Boaz, Ruth's future husband, was an older man. By which we can remember that sometimes in the Lord's will, people will remain single for many years, then marry when a little older. So let us forgive people's past history and consider all believers who have dealt with history in a lawful way as potential husbands or wives. The second point is that we must, as a priority, seek godliness for ourselves. After the death of her first husband, Ruth followed her mother-in-law back to the land of God's people. And in chapter 1 and verse 16 to 17, we read these words. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, Naomi, or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you from me." Ruth prioritized following the Lord's way. And we must do just the same. It's your first duty as a believer, whether single or not, to pursue the Lord's honour in this world. But we know that men are appointed to pastor and spiritually look after their wives. So really, does it seem likely that the Lord is going to give you one of his dear daughters to care for if you are not spiritually ready to pastor her? Likewise, women are divinely appointed to nurture and bring up children. But why would the Lord put you, as a child of God, in a situation where you are to do that if you are not ready yourself? If you are not walking close with the Lord, how are you ever going to teach children to walk close with the Lord? Pursuing godliness has to be the number one thing that we can do to seek a husband or wife. Perhaps that's not as exciting as we'd like, but it is the plain truth of Scripture. But we should also remember that godliness for the believer should be a chief character to which we are attracted. You should be looking for godliness in a future husband or wife above all else. I think most Christian men have read that famous verse in Proverbs 31 and 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This is what Christian men will have in mind, and it's also what Christian women should have in mind. Do not expect a mature Christian to come after your hand in marriage if you are not also seeking godliness. Our third point is that most of us should be actively seeking marriage. Ruth, as soon as she arrived back into the land of Israel, immediately sought to marry. In the last verse of chapter 1, we read that they came into Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And then in chapter 2, verse 2, we read, "So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor.'" The Bible teaches that long-term singleness is a gift given to some people. It is not the natural way that men and women would normally be. The Lord gives certain individuals perhaps a greater ability to stand against sexual temptation. And perhaps a lesser reliance on other people in our lives. We have to rely less on other people in our lives. But for the vast majority of us, The Lord's will is for us to seek to be married. Think back, even women in particular in Genesis were made for a reason. The initial purpose appointed by God in that time was to be a help to their husband. So I think the brutal truth for most of us is this. If we are deliberately suppressing a desire to be married, it is not good. To put off perhaps that natural desire that women in particular might have for a family is to put off God's design. So when we seek a spouse, remember, this is not something to be embarrassed about. It is a God-ordained pursuit that is honouring to Him when done rightly. But remember, every relationship that we seek in this way should be seeking with marriage in mind. There is no such thing in the scriptures as perhaps dating just with a thought, maybe this person. If you pursue someone, you pursue with marriage in mind. So fourthly then, Ruth and we should try to put ourselves in the presence of godly potential spouses. We already read Ruth chapter 2 and verse 2, where Ruth went out into the field where she knew this godly man Boaz would be found. She went there with the main purpose to go and glean, to go and pick up that grain and that corn which she could keep as a poor person. But while doing that, amongst all the fields she could have chosen, she chose to go to the field where she would find godly people. And I think as we come to thinking about where we might place ourselves to find godly spouses, it is a good idea to first of all have straight in your mind the kind of qualities you are looking for. First of all, you should of course be seeking a serious believer. You should be seeking a mature individual who, if of the right age, is seeking to have a family. And with such qualities in mind, when perhaps somebody who is ungodly approaches you, you will be in more of a position to say no. I would, however, caution against what some might call non-negotiables. When I was young and I was with some of my single friends, we were discussing what qualities we would like in a future wife. And some of those qualities were not important things. They might have been things like, she might like to travel. But friends, I can tell you, I am now married, and some of those friends I was talking to are now married. And every one of us has had to resign most of those non-negotiables. Because you see, normally, the Lord will give us not the wife or husband that we think we want. He will rather give us the wife or husband that he knows we need. And that is a good prayer, I think, for every single person. Lord, give me the wife or husband I need, not the one I want. Although I think if you pray that prayer, the Lord will graciously align your wants with what he knows you need. So where then might we find a godly spouse? For most of us, it's not the barley field. It's not the field where they collect grain. I think the first place to start is, of course, the church. But I've heard some people say, the church needs to create more opportunities to meet potential spouses. And I think that is perhaps true, but I would say some of the existing opportunities are often neglected. There's such low attendance at Bible studies. Even youth meetings, there are many youths who don't turn up. But friends, what better place is there to meet a godly spouse than in your church? Turn up for meetings where you can meet and mix and get to know such people better. Ruth and Boaz first bonded while they were both working in this harvest field. And I think when working together, particularly in the Lord's service in the church, is a great place to meet a spouse. You are not going to spend your married life going out on dates. You're going to spend most of your married life in work, labouring together, both in the world and for the Lord. So why not go and try to meet a spouse in a working environment? But particularly in the church, who are often the people who are most engaged in the Lord's work? Normally, it is the most godly people in the church. Those who love the Lord most dearly will be the ones who have a desire to serve Him. I think another option we have to consider is online dating. Online dating. Without a doubt, believers do meet and find godly spouses online. However, be very, very careful of this means. Do not give your heart away to somebody who you have never met. There are many people who, talking online, have decided how many children they're going to have, what colour the bridesmaids' dresses are going to be, before they have even met. People can paint the picture of themselves online that they want you to see. And you may well fall in love with that image, not the actual person. I think another place to meet a godly husband or wife is this very interesting one. By evangelism. I know two couples who met their spouse by evangelizing their spouse. They preached the gospel to some ungodly person in the world, and that person became a believer. And once that person was born again, as they grew to disciple each other more, they fell in love. And friends, if that's not a motivation for evangelism, I don't know what is. There are also meetings where you will find godly people elsewhere, outside of the church. Perhaps in gatherings of other churches and weddings of godly people. The next point I want to consider is men generally should initiate relationships. We see this in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 8. Boaz, perhaps nervously, shows Ruth that he wants to spend more time with her. Boaz, Ruth's future husband, said to her, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in any other field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women." Men are the ones who will lead in a future marriage. So by and large, they should be the ones who have the guts to ask somebody if they are interested. But I want to say this in particular to the women. If a man is bold enough to come and approach you and express his interest, do not gossip it around. That man has come to you in confidence. Do not disrespect him by telling everyone you know in the church that this person came to me. Particularly if you choose to say no. How do you think another woman will feel when perhaps after some time that man comes to her? Perhaps she will feel like second choice, second best. And the man will no doubt have his confidence undermined. Help men by cultivating an attitude where they know they can come to you in confidence. Next, the primary thing, and I've already touched on this, that we should be looking for, is a godly character in a potential husband or wife. We read in a number of places in the book of Ruth that Boaz had heard that Ruth was a virtuous person. And she knew that he was a godly man. Yet I think nothing in this book is mentioned of either of their appearances. And friends, just as a believer should only marry a believer should only court a believer. When considering someone, be honest with yourself before God. When considering somebody, be honest with yourself before God. Are you very sure before the Lord that this person is a real born-again believer? Is their conversion evident in their words and in their character as well as in what they say? Godly character is the best indication of a true believer. Many may tell you they believe in Jesus and he is their Saviour. But only in real believers will the fruit of the Spirit be evident. I want to ask you as well, what are you advertising to potential spouses? Often it's just the physical things, not your godly character. I take the example of people's WhatsApp statuses. Some people, perhaps particularly the ladies, they post these pouty selfies and things. But what does that advertise to you, to Christian men about you? It suggests that this person is immature, that they're only interested in the physical. Perhaps it says to you, this person does not have serious intentions about marriage. But I've also seen people, even in this church, put on their statuses, perhaps pictures of them holding another's baby. And what a difference impression that might give to a future husband. It says, look, I'm ready for a family. I'm ready for a mature relationship. I'm doing my best to develop the skills I need to be a godly mother. But know also, though, that Ruth was from a heathen background. She probably didn't know a huge amount about the Jewish faith. So I want to suggest to you as well that you do not need to find a husband or wife who conforms to the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. But rather, is there an evident love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is repentance clear in their life and a humility? And is there a desire to learn and to study God's word? Because if there is, then those other things can come in time. Just make sure that person has the Holy Spirit dwelling in their heart. The next thing I want to say is make sure you seek to marry a suitably qualified person. Now, we've already said about they must be a believer. But we know that men should be able to provide for their family. Now, we read that Boaz was rich. You do not need a rich husband. And remember that those duties that you have in marriage are, while they might be assigned primarily to one, are shared. You don't expect a man to ignore his children just because they're primarily in your care. And likewise, remember that just because a man is to provide does not exempt a woman from helping him. Think about how you can develop each other into those people who you need to be to marry. I know we have a number of women in the church who have good businesses in their single lives. Have you thought about perhaps how you can hand over part of that or include a potential spouse in your business? Help your man to be somebody who can provide for you. But remember as well that having a man who can provide does not mean a man who will spoil you like a princess. Can a man provide the basic needs that you need to live this life as a believer? I think there are few men in RBC who cannot do that. Yeah, unfortunately, we often hear about how the women think I can't provide. But the, I think the same can be said about women, though, as well. Men, be very cautious of a woman whose priority is to pursue her career. That does not line up with the biblical marriage role. The next thing we notice is that Ruth and Boaz spent a lot of time with each other in temptation-free environments. They ate and they drank together in the harvest field with the rest of the workers. We can imagine that perhaps they went a little way away from the other workers where they could talk in private. But they were nevertheless in a situation where they would not be drawn into temptation. They spent a considerable amount of time together before they got married, and they spent much of that time talking. It's very easy to get on well with someone and think you love someone when you're just going out on dates with the intent of having fun. Make sure you talk to each other, get to know each other very well, and keep out of temptation. We also note that while Boaz is described as a rich man, his spending on Ruth was not large. He gave her some extra grain from time to time, but he didn't spoil her. I've ever been to KFC here in Uganda, and I've seen a man taking his girlfriend out for a date. And you see the woman there having a three-piece meal, while the man's plate is empty. Don't expect this from each other. You will need your savings in later life when you have a family. Do not spend the money going on excessive dates which you cannot afford. If you can't buy KFC for both of you, don't go to KFC. I want to also say, though, that physical appearance does matter. An important part of marriage is, of course, sex. Although I would point out that often how you view someone physically has to do with how you view their character. I think most of us in our lives have seen a beautiful person and thought, wow, they're pretty. Then you learn something bad about their character. And suddenly they do not seem as pretty to you. And I would suggest to you that as you draw close to a godly man or woman of God, As you appreciate, their spiritual characteristics, often physical attraction grows with it. But at the same time, men, really, make sure you wash and you smell nice. You know, when you are married, you reflect both your wife and yourself together. Can your potential spouse trust you to give a good impression of both of you? If you don't care for yourself, she's going to doubt that you can care for her. The next thing we are to know is, of course, that sexual relations are strictly within marriage. We don't have time to read it all now, but Ruth actually went down to where Boaz was sleeping to meet him. I don't advise doing that. But at the same time, it's very noticeable that we read Ruth slept at Boaz's feet. Even after they had spoken and expressed their deep love one for another, still she stayed at his feet. She wasn't by his side where temptation might come. In a potentially tempting situation, she kept her right position. And remember that any sexual relations outside of marriage will be regretted later on. But also remember Christ's redeeming love if you have fallen into such things in the past. And the last thing I want to say is that weddings should be humble and honour the Lord. After Boaz had put into place the right things that he needed by their tradition in order to get married, we do not read of a big fancy wedding. We do not read of them saving for many years for a fancy quadrilla. It seems they got married in a humble way before just a few witnesses, and they did so immediately. When you have got engaged or you have decided to marry each other, you already know you want to marry each other. To delay for months or even years is just to invite temptation into your relationship. And it's also to waste blessed time when you could be spending it as a married couple. Now, I know we have many challenges with families here in Uganda. But really, I put to you that according to the Bible, a wedding can be very simple. I have no doubt that a godly couple could get married in this place. You wouldn't have to pay anything for the church building. I'm very sure the pastor would come for free and marry you. And then you can go and buy some chapat for your guest afterwards. But really, show me in the Bible where you can prove that that is not the case. Marriage and weddings are about honouring God's design for man. And displaying Christ's redeeming love for his people. The love of Jesus was the most humble you can imagine. Yet it was the deepest and the most selfless of any love you will find. And it was demonstrated not by a fancy ceremony, but by the shame on the cross. Friends, that love is what a marriage should reflect. Do not abuse Christ's example. Do not go away from Christ's example. And above all, remember God is the designer of marriage. So of first priority, seek God. Seek the expansion and the growth of his kingdom. But apart from that, keep your eyes open and make sure you are actively seeking a husband or wife. And make sure they are above all godly. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this beautiful example we have of Boaz and Ruth. We pray, Father, that as we perhaps go away and read it in our own time, you will show us what it means to have a Christian courtship. Lord, we know we should not be casually seeking relationships that will not lead to marriage. But Father, how often it can be so tempting to do so. Lord, we pray, help us to have in our brains a clear picture of what a godly husband or wife is like. Help us, Father, we pray, to be good judges of character, to be able to discern who those godly people are. And Father, we pray that in your time, those of us who are to marry, you would bring such godly children of God into our lives, and that, Lord, you would help us to get to know them and to seek marriage in a godly way as you have appointed. Keep us from temptation, we pray. Give us your wisdom and your help in this complicated matter. And Father, we pray that you would help us to set aside the lust of the eyes and instead to seek those godly people who you would have us to marry. We ask these things in the name of our precious Saviour. Amen.